Welcome to another edition of the Friar Phil Show podcast. I'm playing Teacher by Jethro Tull to start off because we've got a teacher that we're going to talk to in just a little bit. First, I want to say that I was kind of really pissed last night with last night's game. And I've calmed down a lot since then. I was mad because the offense kind of shut off. I was mad because the defense wasn't up to par. Too many mistakes, too many bad throws, too many things that just didn't gel like they did on Monday. And I couldn't understand what happened to the team on Monday. It was the same team of people, but they were different on Tuesday. And hopefully today we'll be able to see that team we had on Monday, because I tell you what, I always take my blood pressure medicine before the end of the game, just in case. So I might have to wear red tonight. Hopefully the Padres will do okay. Okay, we've got Josh G., who's a Padre Twitter person, and you're probably familiar with him if you've been around Padres Twitter and you see the tweets and stuff. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Last night was interesting watching the team kind of implode, or maybe specifically the bullpen imploding again. Seems to be a nightly thing, which isn't good.
Yeah, and our bullpen is supposed to be, or was supposed to be, this fantastic bullpen that'll be, you know, impenetrable. And it doesn't look that way. Hill got into trouble. Stammen is Stammen. And the only one that seems to be doing good is Pomeranz.
Right.
But
Johnson hasn't been too bad.
Yeah.
He gave up the home run last night, but he hasn't been too bad, but yeah. It's been interesting.
Well, completely different team last night from Monday. It just was so weird. Because it's right. Like, you know, I'm watching the same people. But there right. was absolutely no spark. There wasn't this playoff kind of atmosphere that there was when they played the Monday game against the Dodgers. So I'm hoping right. for a win tonight, so they can have a good day off and rest and then start with Arizona on Friday. Okay, Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I grew up in Yucca Valley, California. My tie to San Diego, my dad was born and raised there, and my grandfather lived there. So I pretty much spent every weekend in San Diego. And as kind of a fun fact, some people may have seen this on Twitter, but my dad was the, it's more about him than me right now, but he was the equipment manager for the Padres from 69 through 73, actually through the spring of 74. So he's actually on the infamous or famous Washington National League card, and he's told me the stories about how they were all packed up and ready to go to Washington, and Ray Kroc kind of swept in at the last second, bought the team, and here we are. Kind of a cool story.
Yeah, it is. But
yeah, he's on that 74 Topps card where there's two of them, the San Diego, of course, and then Washington National League.
So, of course, when you were young, you were going to Padres games then, on, like, the weekends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got Brian Prilliman the job. They were, like, Little League teammates, and then he brought Brian in. Brian took over, so I kind of, you know, it's one of those things you don't understand when you're a kid, but
right.
Every time we go to Padre games, you know, we get to go down into the clubhouse during the game and visit with Brian, and it's pretty cool. Pretty cool times.
Yeah, for a kid, that's really something. I've got memories of going to Shea Stadium with my father.
Yeah.
And just the good memories of, you know, getting a ball, how exciting that was. Stuff. So, but right. It must have really been exciting for you at that point.
Oh yeah,
and that's
yeah.
where you got
it was
to.
Always really cool.
What age did you start getting interested in baseball?
Probably like 4 or 5, like T-ball age, and you know, of course, born and raised a Padre fan, so you know, with the team and the game, pretty much like 4 or 5 years old.
That had to be exciting. That's something. That's something. And so you're a teacher.
I am a teacher, yeah. Yep, I'm a teacher, and I coached at Yucca Valley High School for 3 years, at JV 1 year, and then was kind of thrown into the varsity level, and we won a league championship, which was only the second one in school history, which was great. And then the following year, we finished second. We won a CIF playoff game, which up there at Yucca High is a pretty big deal for baseball. And then now I'm moving down here to La Quinta because I moved to Palm Desert. And La Quinta High has a powerhouse, so I don't know if I'm going to be coaching yet. Just got hired there like 2 weeks ago. But, you know, coached my, I have 4 kids, 2 girls, 2 boys. The oldest girl graduated last year. The younger girl graduates this year, which it'll be interesting to see what happens, of course, with the COVID situation.
Mm.
And then I have the 2 boys that are 12 and 8. And the 8-year-old is kind of getting into baseball, kind of not as big as the other boy, who's a big, big fan, loves to play, loves to watch. So I've ruined his life by making him a Padre fan.
Well, it might not be
but
too bad.
But it is exciting, though. It is exciting, though, and there's you know, there's a lot of good things happening. And they're pretty good and competitive now, and then, you know, the future is looking really, really bright.
I'm always appreciative of teachers and the job you do. My sister-in-law is a teacher, and she teaches middle school. I could not go teach high school. I would be Friar Phil with the class, and
yeah.
I'd be running around with the yardstick, clapping him on the knuckles, and having a nervous breakdown with kids the way they are today. I was talking to Woods last week, and we were talking about Bo, his son, and how he has a little filthy mouth. Some of the time he'll curse, and then he'll laugh about it. And I was telling Woods, you know, I'm public transportation here. And there's kids, you know, getting off of school from San Diego High School, and their mouths are fouler than mine. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I have the temperament to teach. So I really appreciate what teachers do for, you know, and trying to educate this group of children now so they can come and be a little bit smarter and not the dumbed down idiots my generation seems to be. Let's see.
Well, I see that too, the mouths, especially like on a passing period or whatever, but usually in the classroom you might get one or two that are kind of out there, but for the most part, I mean, the kids, you know, they behave. I can imagine though, once they're out, you know, public transport, like no one's watching them. I, you know, just like anybody, if character comes out, and as they're developing their character, you know, you got to look good in front of your friends and all that. And so I get that. I guess I'm blessed or cursed or maybe a little bit of both with a really good memory. And I remember what I was like as a kid. So I'm like, yeah, I guess I could kind of see this. And there are those days, like, what the hell is wrong with kids these days? But when you think about it, I think it's kind of the same, just different technology. That's probably the biggest obstacle we have today is the technology. I mean, it's those kids have just, they're so addicted they can't go 5 minutes without, you know, you got to check.
Oh, I know. Check the email.
They got notifications, text messages and all that. Yeah. But it's interesting. It does have its days. I will say that. Those days where I'm the Friar Phil character inside and just put on a smile on the outside. Just, oh, bless your heart. And
yeah, you little bastards.
Yeah.
I was saying, when you
get a letter from them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I was going to say, you know, if you get a letter from one saying, thank you so much, you know, you really helped me, you changed my life, and it's a cool feeling that you can't put a price tag on, and that's...
Yeah, I can't imagine.
That's good.
I can't imagine. We were talking about Bo going to school last week, and what he's going to be like. He's 2 and a half, you know, and if he's going to go... And the teacher says, okay, Bo, have your milks and cookies now. Fuck you, motherfucker.
Exactly.
Because he does the thing. Paul plays it on the program. Ben and Woods, a little drop of Bo saying, motherfucking diarrhea. I love that kid.
If he's got diarrhea. Can't wait for that one. All right, Bo? Well, here we go. Yeah, I heard that the other day on the radio too. I almost drove off the road. Because out here in Palm Desert, I can't listen to them live, but I hear the podcast. And I was driving up to Yucca, so I was listening to one, and they played that drop, and I about drove off the road.
It's funny. It's hilarious. Some of the ones they got of me are really great too. Paul does an excellent job of inserting those drops right where they need to be. Okay, so aside from what you told me already, what is another good memory you have as a Padre fan? I know there were a lot of years where you wanted to slit your wrist, but surely there's some kind of good memory back there.
Right. Well, of course, 84 was great. I was only 7 years old, but I can remember the Cub shirt that had the cartoon. I can remember that. And the Garvey home run, I remember that. I remember, for whatever reason, being a big fan of Kevin McReynolds that year. I remember, I mean, obviously Tony, he's number one for all of us, but I was a big McReynolds guy for whatever reason. And that year was great. 98, I was kind of busy. Life was kind of busy. I wasn't into it as much. Had a bunch of other stuff going on. But obviously that was cool, too. Until the actual series.
Right.
Reality came crashing down real quick.
I watched that one on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
And I was in Florida at the time. I watched it on the TV, and the aerial shots and the shots of San Diego looked so nice. A year later, I moved here. So I got here in October 1999, and decided to be a Padres fan because I'm loyal to the team in the city that I'm living in, you know. Somebody asked me last night, you know, how come you have to be loyal to a team that's in a city you live with? And I'm like, you just do it, you know. I'm not going to run around with an LA hat. I'm going to have a San Diego one come hell or high water.
It's like where I'm at, you know, being at Yucca High, obviously. I mean, it was all about our Trojan pride. Now I'm moving to La Quinta. It's going to be all about Blackhawks pride. I mean, you know, you go where you're at. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense. I will say this, another great moment. And I was actually there with Daniel, the 12-year-old son. He's the one that you, which was so awesome, did that fun little... Happy birthday, Daniel Griswold, you stupid bastard, the Andy Green thing.
I remember that.
Oh,
man.
He loved that. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
He and I were actually at the game where Tatis did that freak slide against the Braves, and it was funny because we were on the third base side, and it looked like he was picked off, and I was like, oh, crying out loud, but you could hear the crowd, and I'm like, well, something's wrong here, like, why? I realized the crowd going nuts. And then when they played it up on the screen, I was just like, oh, my gosh. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
The game where he did that crazy slide back to first. And you're like, oh, my gosh.
I worry so much about him injuring himself again. It was cool what he was doing the other night to keep the... Yeah, it was the Dodger game. It was Monday. He was circling around second base while Seager was on second base trying to protect the pitcher and the catcher right. So they don't steal signs. I thought that was pretty clever. It's not against the rules, and certainly it probably pissed off Seager while he was on base, right. But it was cool with him circling around.
Yeah, he's a fun one. I tell my son, I go, you're so lucky to have this guy for the next however many years, hopefully for his entire career, but, I mean, just enjoy it. I mean, this guy's amazing.
And we've got a team to compete with this year. You know, we took on the Dodgers Monday, and that team had the spark, like a playoff spark, I think. And the lineup just worked.
Yeah.
But then he changes the lineup on Tuesday, and today we'll probably have a completely different one as well. So who knows how it's going to work out.
Yeah, I am a little curious. I think everybody was, and I never heard anything, like why he took Myers out last night when Myers has been hot. Like, why sit him now?
Yeah, you don't sit somebody when they're hot. But I guess he wanted a day off, or gave him a day off or whatever. And I don't get it. You know, it didn't make sense. One of your best hitters, a guy that's come alive this season after a couple of seasons of poor performance, you take him out of the lineup? Why? You know?
Right. Right. It's like, wasn't this the purpose of a DH? Like, what? Come on.
Yeah. I mean, Will did good as a DH, too. He did. I think he's suited for that, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Because he seemed very comfortable in coming in and batting like that. So we'll see if Will is in the lineup today. We're recording this in the morning, so obviously the lineup isn't out for today until this afternoon, but we will see.
Speaking of we will see, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Patino, if he is indeed coming up as a reliever or if he's going to start Friday. And then I was looking at it going, boy, if they start him Friday, bring Torrens up too. I mean, that was his catcher in AA.
Right.
Why not? You know, I mean, what? At this point, why not?
Yeah, might as well.
And then you got Gore right around the corner too. And that's why, I mean, it's frustrating is some of these games have been, just look at it, having Paddock and Lamet right now. And Richards, of course, has been good, but I think they only have him this year. But having Paddock and Lamet and then Gore and Patino right around the corner, it's whew.
That'd be something.
Good stuff. So, and you got Abrams coming up, and he's going to be good. So, yeah.
From right now, I think the plan is to keep Patino in the bullpen, which might not be a bad idea now because the bullpen needs a little help here. You know, they've coughed up too many runs. You know, in one case like last night, which, you know, made the Dodgers go ahead and we lost the game. So I think putting him in the bullpen will not be a bad idea. And eventually I think they'll move him out of the bullpen and into a starter role. Not sure if they'll do it this year because we only have, 40-some games left in the season.
Right.
But surely next year we're going to see Gore. We're going to see him in the rotation, I think.
No doubt. No doubt.
Let's hope.
Exactly.
So do you think
bright days ahead.
Do you think the Padres are going to go into the playoffs this year with the team that we have?
I think they will because it's been expanded, and there's eight teams out of the National League, and with the Braves losing their ace, Soroka I think is out for the year. I mean that's tough. I know Fried is good, but that's a tough.
That was awful.
Right. So if they can stay healthy, I can see them making the playoffs. But I will say this, and you know, there's a lot of people saying it. I'm sure you've heard it too, that it's because of the, you know, you ramp up in the spring and then you got to shut everything down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's fine, but if the bullpen doesn't figure it out, well, it's not going to matter because you're not going to go anywhere with a bullpen blowing games like this. I mean, even the ones that are winning, the Colorado game where they blew a 5-run lead, I think the day before, didn't they do that against the Giants too? And it's like, come on.
Yeah, just unbelievably bad pitching. I felt bad for Jay Stengler last night, though, because his hands were tied. You know, Hill, I think it was Hill, he wasn't doing too good. But they have this three-batter rule now where you have to face three batters before you can make a pitching change. I think that takes a lot of the strategy out of baseball.
Oh, it definitely does, yeah. I mean, you have to look at that stuff before the game even starts. And then, of course, when you got to make, you know, decisions throughout the game, yeah, that's got to be tough.
And he was, he probably would have pulled him before Turner batted, but he had to face Turner. Of course, Turner got a run, and off we went to lose another game.
Yeah.
So what else do you like to do besides baseball?
Well, since I moved, it's funny, I was never really into it, but since I moved down here to Palm Desert and everything is shut down, one of the few things you can do down here is golf, even though it's pretty toasty down here. I've acclimated myself to the weather, and I golf quite a bit, at least once or twice a week. That's been a lot of fun getting into that. Of course, that's another frustrating game where nothing's going to go the way you plan, but that's the fun of it too. And it's good to have that competitive edge that I haven't really had since I stopped coaching up at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to have that, you know, compete with myself or whomever. Beyond that, just, you know, spending time with family, which especially during the shutdown,
have choice.
But it was kind of cool for us. With us moving down here, you know, like we got a new house, like our escrow closed like right 2 weeks into the shutdown. So it's kind of weird. Like we get a new house and there's a pool, which is good for the kids. So it hasn't been quite that bad.
I think it's been pretty good. Actually, you know, here at home, we bonded more, we're talking more, we're not in our individual things, you know, on our own computers and telephones and stuff. And so it's going back to a time now where I think families and couples will start talking again and make that intimacy come back. That I think a lot of us has lost because of, like you mentioned earlier, the kids with the electronics, you know, have to check the phone every 5 minutes because something's buzzing or dinging. You know, have to be on the computer, have to be on Twitter, have to be doing this and that. And meanwhile, you're ignoring your kids or your family, or the kids are ignoring you. So with the shutdown, I think it's good. And I've heard from a lot of people as well that their family unit is bonding a little bit more. Some family units are not bonding very good. The Woods household, Woods tells these tales about the household and his wife and stuff. Hannah's a really lovely lady. She's a Friar Phil follower as well.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's as bad as he makes her out to be. She's pregnant, and they're going to have a child in November. So I tell you what, if I was pregnant in the summer, I'd be bitchy too.
Right. Yeah, they have a fun online relationship. I'm sure some of that's, you know, amped up or whatever. But I saw the other one the other day with Bose, and Mama ate it all or something. Like, oh boy.
Mama ate it all. But it's funny when you meet him in person, because Woods brought him out for Fan Fest and stuff. So I saw Bo and I'm like, you know, here I am, Friar Phil, you know, Andy Green, you dumb bastard.
Yeah.
And he was just quiet, very quiet. So he's a very shy boy.
Shy, yeah, that makes sense.
So I think we've got the possibility of going into the playoffs, especially with the expanded playoffs. What do you think about that with all these playoffs? I don't like it too much. I didn't like it when they expanded it the first time for the wild card thing. You know, I could understand having three teams in three divisions and needing another team, you know, to even things out. That was good. And I think they should have left it, but they need more television revenue. So they expanded it once and now twice and stuff. And it just doesn't seem fair. You know, a crappy 500 or below 500 team can get to the World Series and possibly win it. And it's not the real, you know, teams that did the best like it used to be. I don't know.
It's kind of like the NFL.
Yeah.
Where the team can be kind of lukewarm and then just catch fire at the right time and away they go.
What do you think of these expanded playoffs?
For this year, I guess, because the whole thing is weird, I don't mind it. If they're going to do it moving forward, I think that would be a little off. I mean, I understand it now, I guess, just because they're trying to figure out what's going on, and being a teacher, of course, I'm in that same boat where we're just trying to figure out what's going on.
Right.
And so I'm not as bothered this year. But yeah, I mean, moving forward, I think that's too many. I mean, that's half the league. Well, is there 30 or 32 teams? I think there's 30, right?
I think they're cutting it down to 28.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, yeah, so you got 16 teams, and it's half the league, more than half the league making the playoffs, which is kind of odd.
Yes, it is. But like you said, it's an odd year.
Yeah. But then, of course, we had the hope that our team will be the one that catches fire at the right time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I want to see that fire that we saw Monday.
Right.
There was fire, there was competition, there was intensity, there was an urge to win, you know, and yesterday it was like it was an urge to just lay back and relax.
Like I said, it was a 162 game season.
Yeah, it's like who put the Quaaludes in the goddamn Gatorade, you know?
Right.
Or Xanax or whatever it was. It's just like they were lackadaisical. They weren't really swinging at good pitches. It just blows my mind. And you can't have it. You can't have a bullpen that's crappy and beat the Dodgers and other teams. You can't get into the playoffs and advance if you can't hit good pitching. And I see that's the problem, too, with our offense that worries me. The batters, a lot of them, just can't hit, you know, good pitchers like the guy last night for the Dodgers. And that's problematic for me. What do you think about that?
I think that once Hosmer gets back and you get him back in the lineup and then move Cronenworth over to second, which I can't imagine they wouldn't do that. I mean, he's absolute. That guy needs to be in there every night. He's a spark plug. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of fills out the roster a little bit more, the lineup a little bit more. Because, yeah, now it's, you know, you get past the five hole and then it's just, well, let's wait for Tatis unless we get lucky. And I think that will give it. I mean, you look at that Dodger lineup. I mean, it's 1 through 9 are just wow. And I mean, they're not going to be there as long as the catcher position is like this, but I think having Cronenworth in there and having Hosmer, if Hosmer is what we've seen this year, I think it'll be better. I think it'll be more balanced, 1 through 9 instead of 1 through 5. But who knows?
And Hosmer's supposed to be back if he's doing okay on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Saturday there. Yeah,
Saturday is going to be coming back. I think
we'll say this though. I like the lineup now. I mean, we've suffered for years with. I mean, Almonte, you know, who's back now for whatever reason for a couple of days. I remember when he was one of their top offensive players, and that's not going to be good for the long haul. And Guzman, I remember when Guzman was one of their better players. And, I mean, that's great to have contributors, but to have those guys as your everyday stars, and now we do have legit offensive threats, which is good. Just need to round it out a little bit more.
Yeah, we do. Tommy Pham, Cronin, I always want to call him Cronenberg for some reason. Cronin, What the hell is his name? Cronenworth. Oh, Cronenworth.
Yeah.
I was almost doing a wingding thing there.
There you go, yeah.
When that happened, I seriously couldn't say his last name, and I still can't say Trey's last name, so he forever will be wingding. But yeah, we've got Cronenworth. What a player. What a fantastic player he is. Just so many things he can do. That catch last night was amazing.
Yeah, that was unreal. Unreal.
It was like, holy shit, look at this kid. Then he gets a home run. So, yeah, I like him in the lineup. And hopefully when Hosmer comes back, Jace Tingler will put him at second base. Because I think he's more familiar playing second.
I thought that was the original
plan
for him.
Yeah.
Because I think he was shortstop through the minors, and then I thought the idea was to have him compete for second. And Profar, I mean, he's had some good at-bats, but hasn't really done anything to lock it down.
No, because he's got an average under 100. You know, you can't,
right, exactly.
You can't compete when you have offensive players with that
especially
kind of
especially when your
numbers.
Catchers are both like that. It's like, no. Yeah. I think one season, I think you're going to see it take off a little bit better. Once Hosmer's back in there in the infield, then it's set for the next half decade at least, which is good.
Yeah. I think it will be better, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's better tonight.
Yeah, exactly. He's been solid.
Yeah. He's been doing good for the club as well. Last time he pitched, he did well. Not bad, not bad at all. Well, I guess we'll just see what happens tonight with tonight's game. And, of course, you can always get me on the Twitter page if you're listening to this podcast, but you wonder where I live most of the time. It's on Twitter. You can find me there. You can also find me on the Ben and Woods program in the morning, usually about 5:15 to 5:30. If I call in after a loss and I give you a special rant. Okay, Josh, we're out of time.
Music's playing.
It was good having a conversation with you today and get to know another Padres Twitter member here on the Philip. I always want to say Philip. The Friar Phil Show. Yeah, that's it. All right. I'll see you guys next time. Take care. Keep safe and keep it lit.